It's good to be here once again and to open God's Word. So if you help me, just go to Genesis chapter 3. I got a bigger Bible here with bigger letters, so I will take it. Genesis chapter 3. And this morning, I want to talk about the problems that we have in our family. Conflict of difficult situations that we have in our families. And where it comes from. Sometimes we struggle with things and we don't recognize the source of it. The reality is, if you don't know the source, you can't fix it. You can only fix things that you understand where it is, what's the problem, and then we can deal with it. As a matter of fact, it is said that 85% of the solution of the problem is recognize the problem, identify the problem, so you can't fix what you don't know. And this morning, let's see in the Word of God what the Bible is teaching us and about how to deal with issues in our families. And first of all, understand where it comes from. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' Then the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" Lord, help us this morning to look closely to your word, to understand the significance of all what you teach us in it, and that we may take stand for what we believe, but also deal with things that we do not understand and that hurt us in our relationships. We thank you, Lord, because you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. Any of you have problems in your family? Good morning. Do you have problems in your family? Situations? Things that you would like to adjust a little bit? Or we're perfect? Because if you're perfect, there's one door over there, one over there. There's a couple over here too, and over here. You may leave if you're okay. Because you may end up thinking after or believing after this message, wow, I do have some issues. Okay? We all do. And for several reasons that we face difficult situations all the time and issues that we have to understand. I had the perspective of family before I got married. I said, my perspective was this: what's all wrong in my family now, if I do those things right in my marriage will be perfect. And so I make all my effort to work on those things that was wrong in my family. Which was, that was not home, nothing to eat, and things like that. So I was a present dad, and I provide. As a matter of fact, I provide so good that all my check, I will give it to my wife. Great husband, right? Until I realized that that was not all that it take to make a family good. There's issues that we as coming together, we will have to deal with. The Bible teaches us that the reality of every families, beginning with the first ones, there were conflict, there was issues, things that I had to deal with. And I will see with you this morning four different things that we have to consider and also know in the process of dealing with issues in our families. Number one, understanding the origin of problems in our family. Verse 1 in Genesis chapter 3 is telling us that the Bible says, now the serpent was more wise, smart, or evil than any other animals that the Lord had made. And he approaches the woman and tries to conflict the reality of what God says than what he wants to happen. And this was the serpent manipulating the woman in this process. The devil is devil always. He will never say something true. He always will twitch it a little bit. Lie is truth. Upside down. Just twitch a little bit from the truth, and what you end up with is a lie. And that's exactly what the devil is doing. And the crazy thing of it is this. Since Adam and Eve, he did not change his work, his way of working. Because it's still working. If you do something time after time and it's always result, give you the result you want, will you change it? There's a saying that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's there already. No one has to go and think, how can we reinvent the wheel? There's no need for it. It's working already. And so Satan has the same approach in all this. He will grab whatever God says and he will put it in your face, just a little bit different, so you may believe it as a truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 44, that the devil is a liar. That's his way of living. He always lies. And we all that we do not know Christ, we are sons and daughters of the liar. Because that's what we do. But when Jesus comes in our lives, he changed us. Now we're not from the devil anymore. We are sons and daughters of God. By the way, do you still lie sometimes? Anyone lie in here? No? Okay. Just a little bit white lie. A gray. A purple. Nice color. Sometimes you get yourself into situations that's difficult. And it seems like the only way out is to twitch things a little bit and then you get the way out of it. But always when the devil offers something, he will go back and ask you for it plus extra. It's like the banks. Any bankers here? Okay. I don't like the banks. Well, I like the banks, but I don't like the banks. Because they always charge you extra interest. There's a friend of mine that asked me for some money. And I told him, okay, I gave you that. And he said, end of the month, I will give you back. That's like 11 months ago. I know which month, so I wasn't precise in that. And so I remind him a couple days ago, hey, remember you still owe me? He said, yeah. I didn't forget to do that. It's okay. But a couple days ago, I was thinking, man, I should tell him, now you have to pay interest. And you will see how fast he will pay, because no one wants to pay extra. So the devil, whatever he offers you, know for sure, for a fact, that he will charge interest on it. People try to negotiate with the devil. There's no negotiating possible because he always wants to take advantage of the circumstance and the situation. By the woman was manipulated by the serpent. Also, she was, the verse says, verse 2 says, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit from the trees in the garden. But the question is here, where is her husband? You know, we will get in trouble when we walk away from each other, when we're not close to each other. We were talking yesterday about commitment, or Friday with you guys, on commitment, the importance of commitment in a relationship. And God says it's not good for the man to be alone, so the man and the woman ought to go together. And also, the Bible tells us that when the two of them walk together, they're stronger. So if Eve was still with her husband, then probably there was two to think about what the Satan was trying to do with the woman. Problem with woman. I have my wife and three daughters, so that's the greatest creation that God has made. Thanks God for that. We wouldn't survive only men together, right? It's not nice. I have a friend. He just got married after being single for 30-some years, or 40-some years, actually. And we walk into his house, and I said, wow, this is a house. Before, it was a cave. I mean, this place was ugly, okay? Not him, but the place. It wasn't in order. The touch of the woman come into it and everything changed. Pray for me. My wife will leave to the Caribbean next month, and she will be out for 3 weeks. Lord, have mercy with that house during that time, because it will be out of order. And we try to trick it right the day before she show up. And we count the minutes and hours and try to fix things a little bit. But she will always catch up on something that we haven't done. So God has created a woman, and it's great. That's why God says it's not good for the man to be alone and put the woman. That's why we have to stick together. In a relationship, most problems in marriage and family is because the man and the woman are not together, or they're not working together. The only way we will accomplish things in our marriage and the family is when we work together. That's why God put us together. And Satan had taken the advantage of the circumstance because the woman was alone, and try to convince her that she need to do opposite of what God has intended for them to do. The disobedience always lead to bad result. Always that we do our things, going our way, do it the way we want it, then we have conflict. Because God, as a God of order, has created things, everything in its place, and we have to follow that in order for us to see God's hand in our lives. Have you tried to do things your own way? And sometimes when you think, God, I know you may have a good idea, but let me try this and see how it goes. And God, as a gentleman, always said, I mean, more power to you. You're on your own, though. And then when we mess up, where you go? You run back to God. Please, God, help me. Get me out of this. You got yourself into this. Disobedience always bring the consequences of things that we didn't want to. There's no way we can do things our own way and get the result that we want. That's why it says here in verse 4, Satan says to the woman, "You will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God know that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That's a lie. That's a lie. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and also desirable for getting wisdom, she took some and ate. And she gave some to the poor man that was close by. And the man, what he did? He just ate. Love come through food and death also. Okay? When Satan planted the seed of doubt in the woman's mind, then she all of a sudden started looking at the things that she knew was wrong, but a little bit different. Maybe it's not all that bad. And that's exactly what Satan does to us all the time. You're driving down the street, you see the light, and it's green, but you know it has been green for a while. So maybe I can make this. And all of a sudden it turned orange. And you said, no, green, yeah. Yellow. And then all of a sudden you said, I may make this. There's warning telling you. I did that several times. The pastor was saying that none of us are innocent, so I need to start by me confessing. And when you go through, I told my wife, I said, "Do you see you went through the red light?" I said, "No, it was yellow. You didn't see it right." But we know what's coming. God prevent us and tell us up front, do not create an agreement with non-believers. We do it anyway. God says, do not marry and start a family with someone that is not from your same belief. You will get in trouble. We do it anyway. God says, do not gamble. Don't waste your money. Trust in me. We do it anyway. God says, if I provide for the birds, how much will I provide for you? We don't believe it. And then time after time after time, we get ourselves in trouble. The Bible says, honor your mother and father, that things will go well with you. We still do it our way. And then we cry, we complain about the consequences of our disobedience. God has a way to work within us for us to realize where we're standing. And we will see that in a bit. Not only this was where sin began, but what are the consequences once we sin? Verse 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, all the way to 19, will give us some ideas of the consequences with all those involved in disobedient God. Because no one can live their life the way they want and be free at the end of the process. There is consequences. Do you know that? Do you like consequences? Let me ask that question again. Do you like consequences? Consequences is not a problem. Consequence of what is the problem? If you do good, you like the consequences that will come from that? Of course. But if you do something wrong, that's the consequence that you don't like. One time my daughter did something and I said, you will get consequence of that. And she said, no, Dad, and start crying. I don't want consequences. I said, that's the way life is. You will have consequences for your decisions that you do. Life is not without consequences. You cannot think you go through that and nothing will happen to you. And I had to explain to her that the consequences are good consequence and there's bad consequence, but there is consequence for all that we do. A big cake. You see it, you love it, and you start gobbling into it. And you leave the plate empty, just like this. Our gumbo, we're in New Orleans here, okay? So you eat it all. It was pleasure, delight through the process, but at the end, is there consequences? Of course. The pastor was telling us about drinking water, not drinking water. Anyone here just love drinking water? I don't. When we got here on Friday, we went to a gas station and got like a 24-pack, I guess, of water. And we stacked the fridge. We don't do beer, so we do water, okay? So we stocked the fridge in the hotel. That was Friday, Saturday, and today's Sunday. I think we drank like six, something like that. It was encouragement, okay? It's there. Let's do it. But you don't do that. Let me try this anyway, because they promised me this is a good water, so. Any of you like some? No? War is good. But we don't get ourselves into drinking it the way we should. Because we know it's good. It's healthy for us. But we don't do that. And by not doing it, there's consequence also. You go to see you guys with some shirts on from certain team that I will mention here. On Sunday, and but anyway, let's not go there. Verse 14, okay? Verse 14, let's see the consequences that will come into our lives when we disobey God. So the Lord says to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animal. And you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the day of your life. First of all, the one that had to receive a consequence of the decision was the serpent. The Bible says here that God has said to him, you're cursed. because you disobey what I intended for it to be. You have done your own way, and so there's punishment. That's life. There is consequence for all the things we do. And the Bible describes it exactly how it will be. Verse 15, it says, and you will... Verse 13, that must be a problem between you and the woman, and between you and your offspring. And the Bible says here that that's part of the curse that God had put on the serpent. Who else will receive consequence of the decision? You like consequence? It's come. Verse 16. To the woman, he said, God, the one that created the order, the one that set things straight. And he said, now the consequence will come for the woman also. I will make your pain in childbirth when you deliver baby very difficult. Okay? I don't know how it was before. This will tell us that it wasn't easy. Now it's even harder, especially when your baby has big head, okay? It will be painful. I was there for two of my daughters when they were born. The other one, I didn't get to the hospital on time. But I remember the first one, my wife said, grab my hand, pour my hand. That woman's strangled my hand. I don't know where she got that force, the strength. And when I see all that, I said, God, thank you that I'm a man. I would die. But you know, when you learn things later on, you understand that it's difficult. I don't know how to explain that, but it's God, the woman has to just disarm, let's say, in order for a baby to come out. Man, that's hard. How many moms are here? You had a baby. God bless you. Man, you don't have a clue. We don't. Have you? Any of you men had seen a baby coming out? You have seen it? Wow, that's amazing. But that's part of the consequence. You had fun back then, okay? Disobeying God, that's the reality now. Okay, so keep having babies, but that's the consequence, okay? And painful labor. It's what the Bible says here that will happen in this process. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Okay? I'm sorry, woman. That's what the Bible says. And we obey the Bible? Okay. Let's take that as a yes. Satan has a consequence, the woman has a consequence, and the man? Is he free from this process? Nope. He is part of it. Verse 17. To Adam, he said, because you, what? Because you listened to your wife and ate from the fruit. That's the consequence. I don't think what Bible says is that we shouldn't listen to our wives, okay? I got myself in a whole lot of trouble not listening to my wife. I learned my lesson, okay? But specifically for this, because some man who says, you see, Bible says don't listen to you, so don't say anything. That's not wise, okay? Because the Bible says also two cannot walk together if they're not in agreement. And we learn from each other in the process. And so we have to learn to listen to each other. But this consequence comes direct from disobedience because Adam didn't ask or, hey, what are we eating here? Where'd this come from? Who gave it to you? Because I didn't go to work today yet. Where you get this from? I'm the man of the house. No, my grandma gave this to me or something. The woman come home with a brand new ring or something. What you get that from? Do you ask or you just enjoy what you get? We're responsible as men. And the consequence came to the man also. You know why? Because he did not do his job as a man. You have to confront. You have to ask. You have to. You're in charge, right? Supposed to be. Okay? If we're in charge, you need to know where the source of everything comes from. At the end, the Bible's, actually, this is the saying that the buck stopped with me as the man. I'm in charge. I'm the responsible one. So he didn't ask, and that's the consequences. The consequences, cursed is the ground because of you. And it will be hard. Some people will say, oh, we had to work. Because the woman sinned, that's why we have to work. No, we got the job before we had the woman. So for the single ones that said, I got the man and then I chilled the rest of my life. No, got the job. Look for a job. You have to work. You have to provide for yourself. And if a man come or if a woman come, you know what you're doing already. You have the word of things because you work for. The Bible says the ground was cursed because of the disobedience of the man, but not that the man had to work because of the sin. The same thing, the pain that come from delivering a baby was not pain that came at that time, but it was multiplied. It was harder after the sin, but woman had to have pain anyway. It's impossible. Some kids, when you see them, when they were born, you say, man, where did this kid came from? I mean, it's impossible. Seriously. I was 7 months when I was born? So I was a tiny little thing that grew everything, okay? I have a daughter that she was 7'2", right? 7 or 8? 8. And she's the basketball player now. So those that start early will grow. Maybe that's a good answer. So that's the reality here. The consequences for Satan, the consequence for the woman, and the consequence for the man also. What's the solution of all this? Because even though we went through problems, how can we fix it? Because problems we have always, but how we fix the problems in our family. We know where the origin is, but now we need to know also how we fix the conflict. Number one is we have to recognize, identify where the source of the problem is. Don't deal with things. Don't try fixing things if you don't know where it comes from. A lot of times in our marriage, in our family, we try to fix things just because we think it has to be fixed. If it's not broken, don't touch it. Okay? But when you know it's broken, know what broke it. Well, how it become that way. Otherwise, you will continue putting the things in the same place, and every time, there's a bad result, bad result. And he said, something is wrong. Yeah, you need to know the source of it. Number two, not only you have to recognize, identify the source of the problem, but also you have to admit that you have a problem. There's nothing you can do for someone that says, I'm good. I'm okay. You okay? Okay, see you later then. There's nothing I can do for you. There's sometimes in counseling, there's some ladies that come and says, give me some answers, something I can tell my husband. And I tell them, send him for me. I will tell him directly. Because that thing that send messages never work. The counselor said, do you think he will do it? No. So I said to the woman, you know, you're here. Let's work with you. I'm not the problem. So why are you spending your money here then? You understand? Unless you understand and recognize that you have something that you have to fix with in your life, there's no solution. You have to admit. And you have to admit that you are the problem, not someone else is the problem. Because we're really good at that. We're excellent in that. Appointing fingers to someone else. And that never works. Number three, we have to make an action plan to resolve the problem. The prodigal son, he left home. He lived his life the way he wanted. But then he realized that he was wrong. The Bible says that he came to himself. Like he woke up and said, whoa, what I'm doing here? And so this is what need to happen in our life. We have to make a plan. How are we going to get out of this? I don't know what's your problem. I don't know which area you struggle with. I don't know what area is the weak point in your family, in your marriage. But you have to make a plan to resolve it. You're in school, you're making, doing your classes, but things are not going right. You have to set aside extra time so you can do your specific work in order for you to excel. That's why there's summer school or things like that. Give you opportunity to catch back up and do what you need to do. We have to make a plan. Number four. Sometimes you can't do it by yourself. Some issues, some problems are too big for you. So you have to look for someone that can help you resolve the issue that you struggle with. Look for help. A counselor, a pastor, a good friend. Someone that's in better position than you. Don't look someone worse than you, because you will be in trouble for sure. Do not measure your success on someone else's success, because that person's process is not your process. Oh, I have a brand new car as my neighbor. Yeah, but his mom gave it his brand new car. You have to pay your own. That's a big difference. So look for help. Do you like to tell people your problems? Ask for help. No one needs to know my problems. I deal with them myself. How are you dealing with them? How successful are you dealing with your own problems? It's not a sin to ask for help. It's smart, actually. I can't handle this anymore. I have three daughters. And my wife and I, we're both counselors, so we're perfect. When my daughters was planning to go to college, I said, you guys need someone to talk to you. So I make an appointment for them to come to my office. Now, that doesn't work, right? I make an appointment with a friend of us who is counselor, and so they went with her. Because I told them, you're always my daughter. My daughter says, Dad, when I get married, I want you to preach. I said, I can't preach when you get married. Because I need to be sitting there and cry my eye out. That's my job as a father. I can't be doing that. I need someone else to do that for you. But we need to recognize sometimes in life we need to look for help. And it's not wrong. And the fifth one is, create in your family a fence of protection where the enemy will not come close to hurt you. Create a fence of protection around your family so the enemy will not hurt you as a family. Why do we need to create? Or what is a fence of protection? We need to know the only one that can help us as family is God. And the only way He has settled for us is His word. Let's trust in Him. Let's ask Him to be the center of our house. My children don't want to go to church. They don't have an option. They are going to church. This morning I called my daughter. I said, it's time for church. The one, the 18-year-old at home. She said, Dad, I can't go today. I said, why? My back hurt. I play soccer and I hurt my back. I need you to take me to the doctor. I said, okay, so it's really hurting you? Yes. But you worked yesterday, right? Yes, I worked, but it was really hard yesterday. Okay. So, but she said, I will watch it online. I said, okay. That's the way I deal with my kids. Because my responsibility is I need to set some guidelines for them. The older one and the one in Europe, I don't have control anymore. Sadly enough, but that's the reality. They're flying on their own. Sometimes I ask them just to see where they're standing. But my job with them is done. But the 18-year-old that's at home, I still have a few more months to invest in it. That's create a circle of protection. That's create guidelines and standard for your family. And you know, Satan is lazy. You know the thieves? They're lazy too. If they come to your house and they see all kinds of security, even though they're not functioning, okay? You put some camera there, just blinking. They're lazy. They don't want to go through that. They'll go look for something that's more easy for them to get. Satan is the same thing. When he come to you and he see that you have everything in line, he is not going to bother with you. He will go with the one that's lazy as him. And together, they do parties. But if you're with God, if you're serious with God, as I'm not saying Satan will not attack you. He will. But he will give up easier because he knows you are right with God. And there's no options for him. Satan came and tried to manipulate Eve. He got what he wanted, but then he got what he wanted, what he needed also, the consequence of it. Let's work in our marriage in such a way, marriage, family, that the enemy don't have a way in because we are protected by God, the blood of Jesus that covers us.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.